And that is the high praise of Psalms 149. That is the praise that binds demon powers. Because when that worship and that praise comes out of our lips, and it is verbalized on the lips of His redeemed, that praise and worship is like a nuclear explosion in the spirit world. And it explodes in the spiritual world, and it causes Satan to feel the impact of his defeat. Hallelujah. So it's a very deep realm of praise and worship. And the first point that we have managed to get across is that it is born of the Spirit, because it's Jesus Himself singing through us. Hallelujah. Some of us know Jesus as Savior, Healer, Provider, Baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He didn't know Jesus was worshipper, singer. Hallelujah. When we are filled with the Spirit, Jesus and the Holy Spirit sings to us. And it releases the energy that is required to cause all the earth to be filled with His glory. Secondly, why praise and worship? Because when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, look at Hebrews 2 carefully. It says in verse 14. Now, he hasn't given up that subject yet. He's continuing. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now it tells us that inasmuch as we are joined with Him in flesh and blood, inasmuch then do we partake of His victory. In Hebrews 2:14, it says that the devil has been completely destroyed. And the word destroy means that his power was reduced to zero. And we emphasize again that in the New Testament, the devil cannot run around like he did in the days of Job. In the time of Job, the devil went up and down, round and round, bringing accusation about God's sayings. But in the New Testament, the devil is defeated. And Jesus has the keys of hell and death. The keys are no more with the devil. Once upon a time, before Jesus died on the cross, it was in the hands of Satan. And Jesus died as a man and took it back from him. He was the second Adam. The first Adam lost. The second Adam won and took back that authority. So that when Jesus rose from the dead, He rose with authority and power. And Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Why make such a statement now? It's because something new has taken place in the New Testament. All authority and power has been established in Him, has been restored to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says something happened in the spirit world in Philippians chapter 2 when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Philippians chapter 2. It says here, verse 9 to 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him. Now this took place when He rose from the dead. And given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. There is even hell in Hades. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it says in verse 10, at the name of Jesus, everything should bow. Now, when the name of Jesus is on our lips, in the spirit of the same praise and worship, and then you face the devil, and you could speak the name in the same spirit that it was given, and you said, Jesus, the pronunciation of that name release an energy force that makes the demons tremble, and it puts pressure on them to bow down. Can you imagine that? You know that you and I know that the devil and demons don't like to bow to Jesus. I mean, they wouldn't bow. And the interesting thing is, every time you face a demon and say, Jesus, they begin to feel the pressure. You say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's why they don't like to hear that name. If they stay long enough, they will be bowing. That's why they flee at the name of Jesus. They flee because they don't want to bow. The name of Jesus. So the demons have been defeated. The devil has been defeated in Hebrews 2:14. The word destroy is the word, is a Greek word for the word zero. So the devil has been made zero. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, all his cohorts, his principalities and powers, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, in verse 15. Having disarmed or spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So this refers back when he rose from the dead, he completely disarmed. He completely made every single one of their weapons meaningless. It reminds me of a scene of one movie when this samurai came face to face against this cowboy. And so the samurai comes and he jumps into the scene and he goes, and he make a few very nice pugilistic moves. They even look artistic. Takes a position of the crane, takes a position of this and that. For a few minutes he make all the pugilistic moves. And then the cowboy just, you know, looks at him. Of course the cowboy cannot do what he did. And then when he's finally finished, all his pugilistic moves and all his fantastic shadow movements, the cowboy looks over, pulls his gun, pew! That was it. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he disarmed. He made all the weapons of the devil useless. So all the demon can do is make some pugilistic moves. Demons make lots of noise. They are like the turkey that gets angry and makes its tail big. But it's still a turkey. Fit for Christmas. Still a turkey. No matter how much the feathers come out, it has not changed, in scientific terms, the critical mass of the turkey. Still remains constant. Visually, it makes the turkey look bigger. That's all it does. And so, the devil and demons who have been disarmed, when they attack human beings, they would do all these pugilistic moves. But if you know your weapon, or your warfare, all you have to do, let the praise and worship God. Don't be distracted by all around. Just let the praise and worship God. You see, many times we try to fight before the praise and worship come. If you're not in the position of praise and worship, you're not in position. See, the only place in life where we're in the will of God is when you're in the surrendered position of worship.
Correct.
Because when you worship God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you're surrendered. Whatever your past, whatever has taken the day before, whatever, doesn't count. Right where you are. And when you're in the position of praise and worship, and the Son of God comes out, He can do all His fantastic moves like the turkey, and you have to say, Jesus, we love you. Even before you got time to say, in Jesus' name, get out, He runs. It's just like the day when the Japanese had their army scattered all over Asia. And the Americans were brought into the war. And the Japanese had their armies all over. America just had one tiny little plane flying on August the 8th. One tiny, they don't need 100 B-52s. One tiny little plane moving over Hiroshima on August 8th, 1945. They just dropped not 200 bombs made from TNT, but just one bomb. And that one bomb came, the whole city was wiped out. On August 10, 1945, one more plane go. Just one plane. And they dropped one more bomb. Boom. Japan surrendered. Why? There's no match. If they want to fight on, all their cities will be wiped out. That is the position we have with Satan. And Satan is crafty and sneaky. You see, what he does is he tries to first of all convince us that we are not where we are. When he came before Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God says that let us make man in our image. Male and female, let us make them in our image. And let them have dominion. God already said, let us make man in our image. Now, how much more can you be like God when God says, I make you in my image? I don't think we can improve on that. It just reverses the expression. If you are in God's image, then you are like God. There's not one iota that you can improve on being like God. But the devil came and said, if you want to be like God. And he made them go, he made them believe that they are not where they are. And then when you believe you're not where you are, you begin to try to work your way up. And he already has got you. When he tried the same trick on Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, he even tried the same trick on Jesus. He says, if you are the Son of God. Jesus knows he's the Son of God. The devil probably have a clue that this must be it. But he comes and says, if you are the Son of God. He already is. Now, if Jesus knows who he is, he wouldn't be bothered by anything else. But if Jesus doubted who he is, he'd be trying his best to prove himself. And the devil has come to the church and say, if you want to win, my friend, you have already won. Not in ourselves. The war is already over. And sometimes we are like this Japanese soldier out in the island Pacific somewhere. The war ended in 1945. I believe somewhere in the 1970s, they found an old Japanese soldier who was still guarding the fort, who think the war was still on. The war was won when Jesus rose from the dead. And so when Satan convinced Christians, oh, you know, he's that powerful, you've got to fight him too. And the moment you accept that, you're struggling to go up. He convinced you, you're down there before he convinced you, you've got to make an effort to go up. And that's where praise and worship comes. Whenever you reject everything that the devil said and said, no, the word of God says, it is finished. we have victory. So let's look at Ephesians, and we'll close with the book of Ephesians.